up Alpha Centauri on a big dish.
This is Afraid of Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, where we alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sinful state as a out of your head. Can you feel it, Hugo? Can you feel it, Jeremy? Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Freedom Fiends is, of course, brought to you by the is covered under the BIPCOT no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Now, when you say state governments, you've said that before. You mean states, like governments, like the state of Israel and the state of the England and the state
Fiend
of America.
Fiend
you make
Fong.
It sound like state governments cannot use it. Wyoming and Colorado cannot use it, and Nevada cannot use it. But federal governments, it's okay. That's the way
That's not the way I use it. So the line is governments. But see, I don't have a problem with polycentric legal orders. And Kinsella talks
about this. I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of this conversation, and here's why. I'm so sick of libertarians saying, well, governments would be okay if they're voluntary. If they're voluntary, they're not effing governments. If they're voluntary, they are services that you contract with. They are in no way governments. Governments, by definition, are monopolies on the use of force in a geographic region. The use of force. Governments are things that can kill you. They are things that can take your stuff. They are, Ben Stone said it really well the other day. He said all police, the goal of all police is to steal your car. Now, that sounds outrageous, but when it comes down to it, that's pretty much what all police want to do. They want a legal way to steal your car. And that's what governments do, man. They steal your car. So there, Stephen Kinsella.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have to refer you to Kinsella and just agree to disagree, because this is gonna be one of those economic things that we're gonna go droning into Mises Institute territory on the radio.
Jeremy's gonna tell us to get along. Like, hey guys,
well, no, I was just gonna say I'm a little rusty on my logic, but I think there might be an appeal to Kinsella fallacy somewhere in there.
There is.
I'm not using him as an authority. I'm just saying he's written some great articles about this. And I've seen him comment about this, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting position. Let me read more.
I'm sick of libertarians giving that argument, and they get it from Kinsella. So, for people who don't know, Stephen Kinsella is a guy. We know him. I like him. He's a good guy. He's an attorney. He's an IP attorney, an intellectual property law attorney who hates intellectual property. Now, that sounds like, you know, a self-hating Jew or something, but it's not. And I am a black man. I'm 164th black, so I can talk about the Jews. But
I don't think that's how that works.
Kinsella is getting drier and drier and drier. I've noticed this. I love the guy. I like him. He's been a guest on the show many times. If you want to talk about patent or trademark, but not copyright. You know, he doesn't know. By admission, he says he doesn't know that much about copyright. He specifies in trademark and patent. So he's not the go-to all-seeing IP guy. I actually may know almost as much about copyright as he does, because I lived in that world for a long time. And we have a user question that we're going to answer tonight about copyright from, I think it was Paul Gordon, basically. We'll get to that. I'm going to complain about Kinsella more. Okay, so but he gets drier and drier. Have you seen any of the threads of my threads on Facebook lately? Where, and you know, this is what Freedom Fiends is. It's basically Facebook on the radio. It's become that. Have you any of you guys seen these threads where Kinsella comes in and just kind of like kills the party? Have you seen this?
Yeah, but I do the same thing, so I can't really complain. But I have noticed that he kind of took away from this whole lower my GD taxes attitude, and you know, get a darn job, and I'm using the radio version of those things that he normally says. and I've noticed he's kind of turned away from that, and he's starting to get a little bit more diplomatic. And I don't like this because I don't know. I get, because Kinsella kind of reminds me of myself, but I don't
try to be like him. It just kind of works out to be that way.
I can't remember.
I think he's what was the
too long he's been. I think too long he's been juggling, believing what Hans Hopper says, and at the same time, you know, getting along with everybody else, because Hans Hopper is kind of like his teacher, but he's gone all the way to full, you know, statism, weird,
so to speak,
variety, so to speak, yeah.
Physically removed.
Yeah, so to speak, and he should be physically, so no, he shouldn't be, yeah.
Well, I physically removed Kinsella's bad audio. He used to have bad audio, and I harangued him into listening to me and getting good audio, and he has okay audio now. So bad audio would have to be physically removed in Libertarian Paradise, and we're on our way there. So, but, you know, where we're going, we don't need pants. I went shooting without pants the other day. Did you hear about that, Jim Jesus?
Yeah, I did. That was great. I missed, like, the last half of the last episode, but that was the show before, so I caught that whole thing.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that was great. You know, but in order to social or pants will be physically removed.
What was the Kinsella, the thread that I was like talking about something that's like an inside joke with the Fiends, and every Fiend fan, like 70 people chimed in joking about it, and Kinsella was like, well, actually taxes are theft. You don't understand. Like it was weird. Do you guys remember what it was, what the topic was?
I did not see that.
It was,
well, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like everybody got the joke except him. And he came in and was just really literal on a thread where like 75 people had chimed in and all gotten the joke. And I had to stop and explain it to him. Did you guys see it?
Was this deal that prompted you to wonder about Asperger in libertarian circles?
Yes, yes.
Because they don't get jokes, right?
That was the thread, though. It was a thread about Asperger's in libertarianism, and he didn't get that as a joke. That was it.
That's irony. Yeah. Ironic.
That's irony. Yeah, it is ironic. It's literally irony.
I made a joke about the alt-right, and I said something about the alt-left as a joke. And someone took it literally, thinking that I really thought there was an alternative left movement. And then was trying to lecture me about how I don't understand humor. And meanwhile, he had a grumpy cat avatar. And I was like, muted. I'm not going to be lectured by this.
Have you seen my cat, Jim? I got a cat, and he's grumpy because he has a cone on.
But does he look grumpy? Is he in bad Hallmark Channel TV shows?
He doesn't look like Grumpy Cat. He looks like a grumpy cat. Grumpy Cat looks kind of cute. This cat looks like if he had opposable thumbs, he'd pick up a steak knife and kill me for putting this thing. Not really. He's sweet, but I think he's contacting Alpha Centauri with this dish around his neck, because sometimes he looks up at the ceiling and it really looks like he's adjusting a satellite dish to pick some signal up.
Yeah, I prefer my cable cat. I get HBO on that thing.
Yeah. Did your cat ever have Netflix to have a cone of shame?
No. No.
All right. So real quick, I'm going to give three minutes to this serious question from Paul Gordon. Food for thought, Michael Dean. For some creators, like musicians, they need legal protection, since we still live in the state-face world. For people who might actually go out and copyright their uncopyrighted songs and then sue the actual creators, how can BIPCOT.org protect them, give them that protection without putting them in a position where you have to take their BIPCOT word that they won't sue you for using their stuff?
Well, okay, I actually understand this one. And I'm just going to say, like, this is a misunderstanding. This is kind of like what Larkin Rose does with his book, where he says that he copyrighted it just to prevent other people from copywriting it. If you can just show that you were the main creator, which is not hard to do.
The first publisher, yeah.
You don't have to do any of that stuff. That's just a myth that's been kind of circulating. That's just a misunderstanding.
I mean, when's the last time it happened? The last time I know of, like, you know, somebody suing the writer of a song saying, I actually wrote that, was like a Michael Jackson song in 1982. You know, it was with a major label. It was like somebody claimed they sent an unsolicited song lyric to a record company. And record companies always, and I used to do this as a kid. No, they send it back to you unopened and stamped, like, this was not open, unsolicited mail. We don't accept unsolicited mail. And the reason they do that is so you can't write a song you know, say you wrote Beat It after it comes out, like, oh, I sent them a lyric that had the word beat in one sentence and it on the other side of the paper, you know. So really, the first answer is like Paul Gordon, like Jim said, this doesn't happen, really, you know. And secondly, like,
well, because Zeppelin was actually plagiarizing songs.
They were
did they actually get sued, or did that get settled before that actually happened? I forget how.
No, they got
sued. They ended up paying some money to some people.
Yeah, because that song was eerily close.
Which time? They were like 20.
Yeah, I know.
I was
going
to say, that song, yeah, there was like half of their catalog.
I would say what Led Zeppelin did was fraud. I wouldn't even put that under copyright. I'd call that like criminal fraud. And I think that in LibPair, fraud would be a crime. I really think it is.
It was for Stairway to Heaven. It was some other song. I can't remember what the song was, but it was for Stairway to Heaven.
They also did it with blues songs. I mean, they took like stuff written by old black blues guys that were dead. And like put their name on it, you know, like You Shook Me All Night Long or Killing Floor. They took part of Killing Floor.
Babe, I'm gonna leave you.
Yeah, bunch of stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still like listening to it. It's still great.
So I think the answer So I think the answer is to Paul Gordon is, you know, first of all, like in America, anything you publish is copyrighted whether you want it to or not. That's because the government wants to help you. So technically, if you put a BIPCOT on it, you could still sue people for copyright violation underneath that if you wanted to be a tool. Secondly, you know, if you're trying to protect against someone suing you, I say you write a song, you record it, you perform it, and then you throw it up on YouTube and you've published it, or you put it on your website and you've published it and people are downloading it, you play it on the radio, whatever. You know, you put it out there, and then there's a record that you were the first person to publish it. So how is someone going to sue you? And next of all, you'd have to actually make some money for it to be worth someone suing you. It's people always say, I'm going to sue you, but they don't realize what it costs to sue somebody. And like,
and lawyers don't anything.
Lawyers don't take things on contingency unless there's a really good chance they're going to make a lot of money. So any beef you have on the internet, you're not going to get a lawyer to take on contingency. You're going to have to lay down $5,000 up front to get them to even, you know, take any, like file some papers.
Yeah. So I mean, I had some guy. Yeah, I had some guy who used to threaten to sue me for harassment, and because I was critiquing one of his videos, and
that's funny.
That happened. That actually happened. No, actually, it didn't happen. Still waiting for this lawsuit 4 years later.
Wow. Are you neo PG nihilism, Jim?
No, I know who it is. That's
funny though.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by BIPCOT. Thank you for being a fiend.
Yes. Yum, yum, yum. I knew the intro music was coming. I was not too busy talking to do talk radio.
So I'm losing my hearing. If it ain't one thing, it's another. In the past couple of weeks, I've lost like 30% of my hearing in one ear. And it feels like, you know, when you're on a plane and you have to like click your ears, you know, like yawn to be able to hear. Mm-hmm. I feel like that at sea level all the time now in one ear.
Oh, that's a horrible
feeling. I just don't know what it is, man. I know. I hope it goes away. I hope it's a side. It can be a side effect of like 6 of the 10 drugs I'm on. By the way, I want to follow up on something I said yesterday. I was talking about how the police here are now telling you at every stop that they want you to turn in your medicines to the police, like unreused medicines. And it's part of it's because they don't want narcotics floating around, as if there's a such thing as unused narcotics. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, there's a band called, what is it, Leftover Crack, because that's a joke, you know, like there's never is. I mean, aren't narcotics like penicillin? Like you have to take them until they're done, even if you feel better.
I think that's what people think.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they tell you.
But the police, no, they don't tell you that. That's a joke, man. They're not like antibiotics. But the police here want you to turn in your drugs that you don't use, your prescription drugs. And it's not just narcotics or anything that's fun. Like they want you to do this with, like, you know, hormones or birth control pills or steroids or asthma meds or anything. Partially because supposedly it's bad to have them in the water supply if you flush them. You know, like changes the sex of fish or something. And makes all the kids trans, I guess. And I don't know. But so I said the other day, like, I'm not turning in my drugs. I have a drawer full of, you know, like medical stuff I'm not on anymore. And I wanted to clarify, like, I'm not hoarding them for any reason. And the reason I still have them, it's by doctor's orders. Like, the doctor is trying different drugs. And, like, he's like, okay, well, try this inhaler. If that inhaler doesn't work, you know, just say, hold on to the rest of the one you have of that one, and let's try this other one. And if it doesn't work, I'll put you back on the other one. And like, some of these drugs are like $300 a month. So I'm not tossing them away if I only use, you know, if I'm a month left worth of them. So I'm saving drugs by doctor's order, and none of them are fun. So put your billy club back in your pants, anyone listening.
So, Michael, how are the police doing that? Do they come to your house when you're on your car? They encourage it?
Every doctor's office, every medical facility, and every pharmacy has a sign printed up by the local sheriff's office that says to do it. And it says where they have the drug dropping boxes in town. It has the addresses of them. Which is kind of funny because somebody told me that, I think it was the Dan and Katie Green said that in Scotland they went to some outdoor rave that was like, you know, had a permit and was, you know, the municipal rave or whatever. And they said that there was a bin there where you were supposed to put your drug, like your fun drugs, if you decided you didn't want to take them, and they would promise not to prosecute you. Like if you have a bunch of ecstasy and you're at the rave and you're just like, you know, I just decided I don't want to take these, I'm just gonna put them in the cop box. But I
said, we have that like here.
It should be like the take a penny, leave a penny, I think.
Yes. We have, like, that even with guns.
I'm gonna get sober, but if you want to start, you can use mine, you know. With guns, they have it with guns. Take a gun, leave.
Well,
gun.
yeah. No. You can turn in your guns and you won't be prosecuted. But people have turned in RPGs. That's how you call them, bazooka things.
Yeah,
wow.
They have that here, but somebody actually started gaining it because they had a thing where, like, you get a $150 Walmart gift certificate if you turn in any gun, and people were going and buying really cheap guns that were like $69 and bringing them and turning them in for the Walmart gift, like bringing 10 of them.
Nice.
And turning
perpetual
them
motion
gift certificates. Yeah.
Well, yep. Over on the East Coast, people just end up finding out about them ahead of time. Because they usually pay in cash, I think, out here.
Setting up roadblocks and buying the guns.
Yep, and they buy them ahead of time at a better price.
Yeah,
and that's they don't like when you do that either. But hey, it's you're gonna tell people to sell their guns. Well, somebody else might want to buy them.
Yeah,
guns are neat.
I like them. Do you have one yet, Jim?
Yes, I do. No, I need to get one. I'm actually saving up for one right now, so I'll have one for my birthday. That's what I'm gonna do with my birthday money. I decided.
So you got a birthday present.
Yeah, about I was looking into different ones. I mean, I know I can get like an AK pretty cheap, but I think I'm probably just gonna get a Glock. Cause it's something I can hide under my pillow. The AK
under your pillow.
Uncomfortable. Yeah.
Don't keep a gun under your pillow.
I
reach under my pillow when I sleep. That's why I wouldn't do that. But anyway, we'll be back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Fight you off there. Come at me, bro.
So,
how? Speaking of audio, say to me on the internet.
Speaking of audio shame, so I'm getting allergy shots now. I'm going twice a week, and I was in there the other day, and I was listening to my own voice, the sound of my own voice, the Freedom Fiends, on my chromed robot turd with headphones on, and for some reason the jack of my headphones into my chromed robot turd like wasn't all the way in, and I walked in there and like everybody's kind of looking at me and then trying not to look at me, and I'm like, what's going on? I realized like it was playing on speaker really loud, and it was the Freedom Fiends, and I had it up all the way because of the episode where I was half the volume, so I had to have it all the way to hear it clearly with my new hearing problem, which has nothing to do with the fact that I was quiet on the episode. Other people with good hearing confirmed it, but I was basically walked into my allergist's office blasting the Freedom Fiends, so like 20 people or 15 people in there heard it. Like,
nice.
Two nurses, a receptionist, and 12 people waiting to get their shots. And it was me say, it was the part where it was like the worst part it could have been. It was me saying, well, Tom Woods, his audio is so bad that I posted this picture of this like middle-aged plump guy, balding guy that kind of looked like Tom Woods in a Hello Kitty dress and high heels with a sign that says, I'm sorry, my audio sucks. Hashtag audio cuck. That's what people heard from start to finish in my allergist's office. And it was my second time there. And so like, these are people I'm going to see over and over for years.
Yeah. So we're going around with a recording of your own voice playing. It's like wearing a t-shirt with your face on it.
I was doing that too at the same time. No, I wasn't. Never wore my band shirts when I was in a band. I always thought that was cheesy. The only time I'd wear them would be on tour, if all my laundry was dirty, I'd put on a bomb shirt. But I always figured, like, man, I never saw David Bowie wear one of his shirts. That's for fans and fanboys, man. You don't wear your own shirt.
That's why I don't have a Lalbert shirt. Nick does, yeah. But I don't.
Yeah, I just give them to Nick. I give everything to Nick, my son Nick Hazelton. So,
but he wears he wears them to be fair, he wears them to get his yaks to listen, so
to get tail. Yeah. I saw the funniest thing, and I think this would be a good idea that people should do in the real world, maybe in LibHair. Maybe the judge who in the Silk Road case. No, I'm kidding. So I was watching Law and Order, and there was, you know how in New York City heroin bags have like names, like brand names, like Toe Tag. Like DOA, like weapons of mass destruction, like that kind of stuff. Like they have names that make it sound like this will kill you. Like the worse the name sounds, the better the heroin's supposed to be. They had this lady judge on there who was actually the victim in this Law and Order. Someone tried to kill her. The reason they tried to kill her was she was known for like really draconian sentences, like triple digit year sentences for a pound of coke. Like, oh, you had a pound of coke, we're giving you, you're gonna go to prison for 111 years. Like, she did that all the time, and really believed she was like making the world a better place. Like, I'm doing the right thing, I'm protecting the children. Someone was selling heroin bags in this Law and Order with her face on them, and they said, and the brand name was Judge Dredd. How awesome is that?
Nice.
I'm not saying someone should do that with the judge from the Silk Road that sentenced our friend to 1,000 years in prison or whatever, but wouldn't that be funny in LibHair in a TV show, in fiction, in fantasy. Yeah. All right. And but actually, the judge in this Law and Order episode liked it. She's like, oh, I'm aware of that. I think it's a good idea. I'm flattered by it. And I like it because then these horrible drug dealers who are poisoning our children will know my face when they get to come before me, and they will. So, yeah, she liked it.
Maybe we won't have the Nuremberg trial for drug warriors, but we'll have the fiction about it in LibPeer.
I think we already do. It's called The Freedom Fiends. So this episode today is called Planting the Seeds of Liberty. And it's kind of a joke because, it's kind of a play on words because, Jeremy, you have a podcast called Seeds of Liberty, right?
That is correct, yes.
How long has it been going? How many episodes you've done? And how long, what's it? How did it start?
A little over a year ago, we just put out our second attempt at episode 61 because we had our first episode.
What?
Last week we had an episode, the first one that crashed and burned because we had three times the redundancy and all three failed and all the recordings crashed. So we lost a really good episode. But so we've put out 61 so far, and it just started because my buddy Dave was itching to do something, and I was working on another project at the time, and he had found my other friend Danilo and I, and he was just kind of biding his time until both of us were free. And as soon as we were, he just kind of sprang it on us, was like, hey, I want to do a podcast, you guys want to join me? So I said, sure, I got nothing better to do, why not? It's kind of nice. How it started.
Well, the Freedom Fiends last night, which had you on it and also had young Nick and had Chandler and I on it, and I wasn't on the second hour, at the end of it you guys kind of ended with this great redemption in the eighth act where you were talking about planting the seeds of liberty. And Chandler said that he had a friend who's passed away but was really pro-liberty, and she would say, like, you know, you don't need to get in a huge argument with people on the internet. You just kind of have to, like, plant the seed and you know, it'll grow. And then, like, the show was over and he didn't get to expand on it. And I was like, man, I have a lot to say about that. And one thing that I can think of too is, you know, I've been in recovery for 20, coming up on 22 years here, off heroin and alcohol, and I went through 12-step programs, and I know that Jim Jesus is really down on AA and NA, aren't you, Jim Jesus? Okay, but let me ask you this: will you concede that pursuing and doing drugs and alcohol to excess can be bad for somebody?
Yes.
Okay. Will you concede that a person who has had a problem with drugs and alcohol, no longer does on a daily basis, has something to offer talk therapy wise one-on-one with someone who's trying to get sober?
Yeah, but there's a lot more options than AA and NA.
All right. So
with higher success rates.
I already tricked you and I got you to agree to what I'm going to say next. So I did a lot of sponsoring people in AA and NA back in the day, but a lot of what I did really was kind of outside of the meetings and me kind of like making up my own system. And I wrote this book called A User's Manual for the Human Experience. Have you read that, Jim?
I've listened to half of the audiobook and I just never finished it.
Threw it in.
It was good.
The first half. Yeah, the first half is about getting creepy people out of your life. And the second half is partially about getting off drugs and alcohol without meetings, and partially about starting your own job, your own business. But after you get sober and you have, you know, what am I going to do now? Well, I'll make Bipcot placemats. So, but yeah, so I'm a heretic.
Mats, not
so,
placemats. No, you don't eat off of them. How dare you?
I wasn't talking about what you did. No, I think someone should make Bipcot placemats is what I'm saying. Okay. So, placemats. But, you know, so Jim and I have never really talked about this at length, and we don't need to for this conversation. But Jim has, like, railed at me because I've said some moderately good things about 12-step meetings, but he didn't let me finish. You didn't let me finish, like you're not letting me finish now, to where I get to the point of that I'm a heretic.
I just wanted to make sure I interrupted.
That I'm a heretic, you know, as far as, first of all, I shouldn't even be on radio saying that I was a member of NA and AA. It's literally a violation of the We Are Anonymous at the level of press, radio, and films. It says in the tradition, press, radio, and films.
But you quit 12-step.
The internet didn't exist. What's
didn't
that?
You? You're over 12-step now, aren't you?
Yeah, but I still incorporate some of the things I learned in there. And mainly it was the stuff I learned that was the one-on-one kind of stuff, which, you know, is kind of outside of 12-step. So basically, I used to sponsor the guys who were unsponsorable, like that other people fired because they kept relapsing. I would sponsor them. And they would relapse with me, too. But many of them, years later, would see me at a meeting or not at a meeting and be like, hey, man, I'm sober 2 years now. My life's better. I got my job. I got a house. I got a girlfriend. I'm not living in the gutter. I'm not selling my butt on Polk Street. I want to thank you. You really helped me. You planted the seed in my head, and that's all it needed. It just, it wasn't, I wasn't ready for it. And that's the thing I want to talk about is planting the seed here is, yeah, like, I don't argue with people on the internet because it's really counterproductive. I would rather plant the seed and walk away instead of screaming at them. Because if you scream at them, even though you're right and they're wrong, they're going to remember, oh, libertarians are those people that scream at you. They're bad people. They're mean, you know.
Taxation is theft, statist.
Yeah, well, it is. But I would rather get them to laugh along with it, you know. I'd rather do something funny, which is why I'm really frustrated by, like, a lot of media that's just really serious. You know, that really serious kind that everyone listens to.
I think we should talk about the NAP for an hour and a half instead of doing this fun show. Because we need to talk about the deep implications of the non-aggression.
You don't really think
for
that.
Hours.
Heck, we no. need to bring in Stefan Kinsella for the show.
Yeah, that's why I can't stand most libertarian. Like, anytime someone recommends a libertarian podcast, I'm usually like, I'll get around to it.
Yeah,
it's because I know that it's going to be napping my ear off.
Yeah, Seeds of Liberty's fun too, but I listened to some of it today, and it's kind of like, these guys—they're talking about the nap, they're talking about the non-aggression principle, like scholarly stuff. Yeah,
scholarly. You weren't listening to our show. Yeah, I wasn't listening to you. We are far from scholarly.
I don't know. You were for the minute I listened to.
Oh, it's possible. We have some serious subjects, but no, I mean I obviously agree with you. I mean, that was the premise of our that show, and it's something I've tried to do for a while too. And you know, even as something as simple as just wandering by people and just muttering random phrases at them, which I thought was just kind of funny at first, but it's actually worked. I've had a couple people come back to me later on. No, when you said taxation is theft the other day, I didn't understand what you were talking about. And then I thought about it. Now I have questions.
Yeah.
But
there's something that I'm working on that I can't really talk about yet that may be the most important thing I've ever been a catalyst for liberty-wise, way more than like getting everyone to use good audio. There might soon be a Spanish language libertarian radio show in America. And I'm making it happen, and I can't say that it's Hugo and that it's going to be on GCN because it's not confirmed yet, but it might happen that this happens, and I'm going to be really psyched because, you know, everyone thinks, oh, those Mexicans, they all take our jobs and get on welfare, and it's like, well, they do one or the other. Those are two different things that are diametrically opposed. Pick one.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But, you know, even if open borders do encourage people to take advantage of government programs.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government license is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Este, aquí estoy robándome sus trabajos y me gustaría que hablaran en español.
Hey. Maturbs. Maturb.
Yeah. Maturb.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys know any words in Spanish? ¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
I know. I am
a library.
Y es Latina mujeres. Es muy caliente.
Muy caliente.
Jim just knows food Spanish.
No. That was saying that Mexican women are very spicy.
Yeah, food Spanish. I think you said they're very hot.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So
that's what he said.
I was talking about the Spanish taking our jobs before we went to the break, and I got cut off and it went out of context. I said, well, you know, people think that open borders, they're just going to come here and rape and pillage and do all the things Trump says. And it's true. And then it got cut off. Like, I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying, people might be less likely to want to take advantage of social service from any background if they had a good fundamental understanding and continuing education of why dependence on government is poison for the soul and the body and keeps you down. You know, they say the man keeps you down. Nothing keeps you down more than taking a handout from the man and becoming dependent on it. And people of all races and creeds and colors and nationality do that because government doesn't care. They want you dependent. So I think it'd be really cool if there were some Spanish language liberty talk radio in the world. And I hear there might be some soon, and I might be a catalyst to make it happen. And I can say, I built that wall of understanding. Yeah.
I think there could be, right? Yeah. Sounding. I've heard rumors that, you know.
I've heard chatter.
Yeah, it could happen on the Facebooks.
That's exciting, because I have a couple of Spanish-speaking friends who have discussed doing something, but they never get anything off the ground, so that'd be great.
Well,
if that was them to contact, come to pass.
Have them contact the Jet Cockatoo, and yeah, probably we'll be able to do something.
You can eat some Jet Fried Cockatoo. Yeah. Well, you know, out of every hundred people, let's say, out of every 1,000 people that say, let's start a podcast, probably 600 of them actually do it. And out of those 600, probably 300 pod fade within 2 months. And within
this is magic number of 7 episodes, right?
Is that what people say? It sounds about right.
Yeah, about seven episodes.
Yeah.
Let's do it on Blog Talk Radio.
And I'd say probably one out of 10. So, you know, 100 out of 1,000 probably make it to the first year. Not even that. I'd say 50. Probably make it the first year, and like, you know, 10 of those are good and one of them ends up on radio, so we're the 1 out of 1,000. Someone actually contacted me today and said, like, a guy I barely know wrote me and said, hey, can you get me on GCN? And it's a guy who doesn't even have, like, I don't think he might have a podcast, I don't know, I've never heard it. And I'm like, no. You know, because I'd just gone through this, like, 2 years of trying to get my friend Hugo on, and now it might happen. Like, my good friend Hugo, who's done a lot for me, and then, and with me, and of me, and about me, and then, like, someone who I don't know is like, hey, get me on GCN. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm so happy this might happen, or this may happen, or this will happen. And
let's say May.
there is a couple of people who are doing Spanish language content who, you know, they're probably happy
on radio. Liberty?
No, not at all. Liberty content on a podcast that you probably will listen to. Yeah, and probably bugger them about audio after a couple months.
I think there's an anarcho-communist one from Spain too in Spanish.
Ew.
You know who's one of those Catalonian communist anarchists is the guy that the programmer that's always doing stuff with Cody Wilson. You know that guy who did Dark
I know
Wallet?
Cody Wilson.
Well, it's the programmer for Dark Wallet. He's an anarchist from Spain who's of the left variety, I believe.
There's a lot of that here too, you know. Is a lot of Spanish immigrants and a lot of socialists, yes, and a lot of left anarchist communists too.
Venezuelans who think we can move to Mexico and make it work.
Yeah, yeah, make it work with liberty. There's some of those too.
Well, there's you. This is Venezuela.
Yes.
Venezuela's hosed, man. It is really doing bad, poorly with the communism stuff.
Not gonna recover unless, I don't know, they learn a couple lessons.
Unless they listen to your podcast.
Yeah, they should.
I don't know. Warrants. When someone's starving, it's kind of hard to learn a whole new thing.
Well, people starving now have a cell phone.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
El meow.
El meow.
El meow.
El meow.
El meow.
Lake Titicaca.
Estos son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde el cañón iónico de baja órbita del campo de reeducación libertario, en la cima de la plaza financiera bestial, en el satélite artificial Lipper 2017, en la región de Alpha Centauri. Los Freedom Fiends están cubiertos por una licencia BIPCOT No Government, que permite que todo el mundo lo utilice excepto por los gobiernos. Y estamos de regreso, we're back.
The Freedom Fiends. Streets will flow with the blood of the non-believers.
I love that. I love that thing with Lake.
It's muy caliente.
Muy caliente. I love the thing with Lake Titicaca.
Conservative radio listeners like more than hearing Spanish on their radio, other than hearing two or three Spanishes at once and a couple of them not very good, which we just heard. And the streets will flow with the blood of the non-believers. I'm not making any threats. I'm quoting Beavis and Butthead. You know, when Beavis or is it Butthead? Which one drinks coffee and starts yelling and channeling?
That's Beavis, and he becomes great.
Cornholio.
And at one point he says,
the streets will flow with the blood of the non-believers.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know that, some of
that lake actually exists.
Yes.
What does? What is this? Oh, Lake Titicaca. Well, the funniest part of the movie, as far as that goes, of him like being amused by pronunciations, are when the bus goes through Wyoming, and they're like there are some places in Wyoming that really amuse him.
Wapiti, Wapiti, Wapiti,
which actually means elk in like Native American, so in one of the Native languages, so. Speaking of cats and beasts, I just went on the break looking for my new cat, Bip Cat, with his cone, with her cone on her head, and I couldn't find her. I looked at all her usual places, and I couldn't find her anywhere, even under the bed. And then she was in my wife's closet, like among the shoes, and like she's a little cat. She's not that big. It just looks surreal. Like oh, someone had put their cat away with a cone on it in the closet with the shoes. Like it's kind of standing between two like high heels and some slippers and some, I don't know, Crocs or furry Crocs, whatever the kids are wearing these days. And the cat's like just sitting there with a cone, like glowing in the dark, almost like, yes, what do you want? Human.
She's trying to be camouflaged.
I want to see that
contact. Alpha.
So Babe Cat is a rescued cat, right? Michael,
yeah.
You got it from. Can you tell she's been on the street?
I don't know. She's definitely been in fights with other cats, I believe. She has some kind of bad scarring on her nose that's permanent, which is part of why I picked her. I wanted to get a black cat because black cats either don't get adopted or like get adopted by people who want to like sacrifice them or something, or just weird people. But I picked the funniest looking cat they had, basically. You know, she's cow kitty color. She's not quite a Kittler.
My second cat is like that.
I wanted a Kittler, but they didn't have a Kittler. What cat?
Those are
my second cat is like that. Her name is Chufi, which was Hungarian for ugly. and I rescued her from a, well, not really rescued her, but she was in a an experiment lab where they did they didn't do anything awful. It just behavioral experiments, but she had been on the
street. They just gave her LSD and let her do mazes.
I don't know. It was more about
comic books.
I was hoping it would turn into be like a Deadpool cat.
A what?
Have you ever seen a cat? Deadpool. I finally saw Deadpool. That, by the way. But did have you ever seen a cat on LSD? Because unfortunately, I have.
Yes. There is a video. The only government. Oh no, I haven't seen that. That's horrible.
It was horrible.
If you search on YouTube "cat on LSD," there's a U.S. government film from the 50s. They gave cat some acid and filmed it, and the cat, it's horrible. You know, if you want me to block you for life, show me things that are disturbing about animal abuse and I will block you for life. Someone did that recently. Like, a friend of mine sent me this thing. He thought I'd like it because I like cats. It was basically a cat in a washing machine. I mean, it wasn't like lethal, but it was like a machine for washing cats that someone had made that wasn't very smartly, designed. And the thing is, cats are self-cleaning. In 20 years of having cats, I've only ever had to wash them once. And it was a two-man job, and it was done in the sink, and it was pretty humane, even though it really irked the cat. But if you needed to clean a cat, you don't throw it in a machine that's going to scare the heck out of it and torment it like this person. And like, I almost, this guy's sort of a friend of mine, and like, you know, been a Fiends blogger for a while, and I know him and like have talked to him a lot. And if I didn't know him as well as I did, I literally just would have, literally, as the kids say, in the current year, I would have blocked him for life. Yeah, don't show me that stuff.
I've only had Kitty Wopolis. I give her a shower like once a year just for whatever. But there was one time where I actually had to give her showers because she thought she could take on a skunk.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had to give her a tomato bath.
Don't you use tomato juice? Tomato juice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I washed my cat. I'm sorry. I washed my cat. I bathed my cat. He left and was gone for 3 weeks. So, yeah, it really annoys them. He's escaped.
The house. Oh, okay.
Yeah, No. He escaped. He was so annoyed that he escaped and was gone for 3 weeks. Just because he was really upset.
I'm looking at Out of Context Fiends, this awesome new
so what did it say now?
It says, you won't even get a cone for $23 in New York.
Yep.
And that's from you, Jeremy.
That'd be me, yeah.
And the quote below that is me being quoted as saying, if it happens again, I will kill somebody. Which is me talking about us having bad audio. Yeah. And Nick Hazelton said, anarchy is everywhere. Aw. Is that Kitty Wopolis?
No. I don't know. That's
Gandhi.
That was not
That's
me.
Gandhi. That's my cat.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I should recognize the Spanish
the accent. Yeah.
The Mexican accent. Yeah.
He just said the El Meow. Yeah.
El Meow-o.
I feel out of place here. I don't have a cat now. But I did just want to say, as far as the washing the cats, though, my uncles did that to one of their cats when they were younger. It's a story that's famous in my family. They put the cat in the washer and then the dryer, and the thing survived. It was freaky. But yeah, people don't.
You know, kids that hurt animals. Seems like a good idea at the time. That's like, did they wet the bed too? Because if they wet the bed and hurt animals, that's like, that means they're going to be serial killers. Do you know that? Those are indications of serial killers or politicians. Is if you wet the bed past a normal bedwetting age and you harm animals at a young age, yeah. Well, not us, man.
At this point in life, unless one or both of them is Dexter or better, I think it's pretty safe to say neither of them are serial killers. So I think it's all right.
Wow.
And awesome. I can't confirm or deny the bedwetting thing.
Hey, Jim Jesus, you're a big Penn Jillette licker. I mean, supporter, right? Or fan?
No.
I'm a fan too. It's okay.
I like him, but you know, sometimes when he talks about libertarianism, like, he'll start defending IP, and I'm like, ugh.
I'm looking at a picture of your boy Penn Jillette here.
My boy.
Your boy, doing a moderating a Libertarian Party debate with all three of the I don't know what the NAP is, quote unquote libertarians, John McAfee, Autism, Plagerson, and Gary Johnson. You know, two of those guys I'd like to sit and talk to. Like Gary Johnson climbed Mount Everest. I don't know anybody who climbed Mount Everest. And John McAfee, I mean, he's 65 and he's dating seven women. I only dated seven women when I was like, you know, from 27 to 29, and they nearly killed me. I don't know how he does it. I guess having a lot of money does it helps somehow.
Yeah. It helps,
especially if they're
and
whores.
a lot of coke on their butts too.
Yeah,
coke off their butts.
I do think that he'd be, if you want to put on your minarchist hat and think like somebody should be in charge of your life and your money. You know, that guy could afford a couple high class hookers, but instead he goes out and gets seven or eight that look like he lured them out of an NA meeting with some crank. So he'd probably be like fiscally responsible with your money, you know.
I guess so, we'd have to give him that.
I really want to like Gary Johnson. I really do. And then he does things that he makes me want to hate. He litters, but he did the he nominated. Well, he wanted Jewish bakers to bake Nazi cakes. He wants the government to force him to do that. And now he nominated, or not nominated, but selected a person for his running mate, who was the governor of Massachusetts, I guess, or something like that. And now he's on CNN. I saw him on CNN advocating gun control, and I'm like,
oh god,
what are you doing,
man?
Well, I can understand like having some minarchist positions, whatever. But
I think the Libertarian Party at this point, I think it's a plot from the Democrats to like steal a few votes from the Republican Party with, you know, by having Republicans who are a little more interesting than Republicans run, basically.
And the Green Party is the inverse of that. Republicans. And Republicans actually have funded Ralph Nader and Green Party candidates. Yeah. So
split the vote. Yeah.
Yeah.
But voting stupid and immoral and useless. Do we want to explain that again? We only had 15 seconds yesterday. Okay. Hugo, you take immoral. Jeremy, you take useless. And Jim, what was the other one?
It's immoral. It's
the other
immoral
one
because
is
you're trying to point government guns at other people with your opinion.
All right. Jeremy, take useless.
It's useless for a couple of reasons. For me, the most important reason is that it actually, it's twofold. It prolongs a system that needs to die and would die a much quicker death if people just left it alone. And it gives false hope to the people that most libertarians claim they want to reach, people that are almost there but still clinging to government. But if you give them little wins, then they go, oh, look, it worked. Now we can use it to their advantage. And they go right back to the beginning again. So it's completely pointless.
Okay, and was there another one? It's stupid.
Yeah,
Jim.
But the only lone exception is you should vote for me for mayor when I make my run in 2019.
Ah, you're running those.
But we're gonna make a certain hotel great again by legalizing prostitution and forcing them to take in.
You've started not using their real name. You're afraid to get a cease and desist, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll see. I got to talk to my campaign
manager. It's Vegas. They'll just send someone to break your kneecaps, man.
Yeah. Well, it's an MGM property, so.
They're going to do that.
They break my legs in court.
Yeah. The other thing is, here, I would add, it doesn't work. Like, you know, if you vote down the tax increase in your town, they'll just raise your property tax. They'll get their money somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Voting for squares, man.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
I know it's going to be off because of the delay, but whatever.
El Meow. We're calling this episode El Meow because we have a Spanish, Mexican, Venezuelan cat. He's Mexican, isn't he? Hugo?
I am. Yes. Your cat. I do not hold a Venezuelan passport anymore.
Oh, so you're now a Mexican. So you're coming to Mexico to take their jobs, huh?
Yeah, I'm taking their jobs right from my yeah.
You're taking their Linux administrator job. Isn't that your job?
Yeah, I do that too. So yeah, even that from here.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder they have to come here and take our jobs. People, Venezuelans are going there and taking their jobs.
I know.
The vicious cycle.
Venezuelans falling apart because communism. So. And yes. People have probably been hearing the cat in the background, and the Freedom Fiends pride ourselves on our high-quality audio. However, there you go. Cats are not a violation of high-quality audio. That's high-quality cat audio we're hearing. I think this is the only radio show that's not like, you know, Ask the Veterinarian, where we would encourage cats randomly meowing in the background. I think it's a good thing.
I think it's always been an integral part of the Fiends, and yeah. I've said it before, the Fiends are a big part of why I own two cats right now. I don't own them. They cannot be owned.
We're stimulating the cat economy throughout the world.
Yes, and now that you have a cat again, you have Bip Cat, man, you sound so much happier.
I am happier. I'm getting better because of it. I think it's making me healthier. So... let's see, we talked about sowing this, planting the seeds of liberty. We talked about, I don't want to talk, I'm only going to be on for this segment, and I'm going to go, I think, and I'm going to let you guys talk about Massachusetts prisoners sent to solitary after meeting with state legislatures about prison reform, because that just makes me want to vomit, because that's the kind of world we live in. I want to talk about uncensorable comments on the internet. Someone's come up with this thing called Genius, where, like, literally, you can put comments, you can comment on anyone's website, and it looks like it superimposes it over their website, but it's not really on their website. It's kind of like an extra layer that's put on there, but they can't take it off, and I like that. And, you know, not every website has it. Like, people have to go to a website and put comments on it using Genius. But we're going to put this in the show notes because I think it's really cool. The only thing is, I think it needs to be uncensorable and distributed, because right now, like, it has moderators. And I think the way you would do it is you'd have moderators, but you'd have, like, different layers you could subscribe to of different moderators. Like, if you're like, oh, I don't like the B25 moderators because they always censor stuff that I'm interested in. I want the B26 moderator version of it because they never, you know, like, you can have your own channels of comments. Did you guys read about this thing at all?
Yeah, I took a look at that. It seemed interesting, and of course the big criticism about it, and people are freaking out because, you know, they think it's going to be abused, which that was my
it before should be I even abused.
But that was my first thought before I even read the article. Was, yeah, this is something that could totally be abused. This is like a manna from heaven for a internet troll.
So I was thinking that too, but that's like, as soon as I thought of the internet trolls, I thought about, well, you would just have, like, different, you could switch on different, like, tabs, let's say, of moderated comments on the same website.
Oh, no, in the upgraded version you're talking about, sure. Just what's currently available. No, that, like I said, but just what I read about it, that was my first thought. And it seems that although the article itself said to be slanted very much towards women that seem to be upset about this for some reason.
Yeah.
Privacy issues, I'm all for trolling. Trolling can be beneficial. Like there was a guy, I can't remember his name exactly, where Plato was describing the perfect man was a biped with no feathers, and there was this troll, and he was kind of known in town for being kind of, you know, a jerk, and he had plucked a chicken of all of its feathers and said, "Look, Plato's perfect man." And you know, while that was kind of trolly, he actually did prove a point. So I mean, trolls, I mean, even back in the day, were very beneficial. But my problem is, like, what about spam? I think spammers would just blow this up. Like, I had to take down my Liberty and the Pub thing because it got a massive spam attack. Massive.
Wow, already? Jeez.
And I apologize for, well, it's not my fault, but I told you it should be a wiki. But, you know, Wikipedia used to have a bad spam problem, and now they don't. And now what they have is editors who are a little heavy-handed, who do things like decide Michael W. Dean isn't notable and shouldn't have an article up there after 5 years of having an article. But I would rather that I don't have an article on Wikipedia than it be full of spam. No. Not that my article is spam. It was beautiful. All right, have a good show, guys.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is the Fiend Phone, unnecessary re-education, exigency, interruption, cervix.
Hold on. Can you really consider it a Furries when you actually really never left?
I left, I turned off my mixer, I turned it back on and came back, and that darn cat, El Meowo, is still meowing. So, I never got this thing that I wanted to say about AA. As much as I don't like it, and I'm a rebel, and I was excommunicated, basically. Something I really like about AA is they had, like, a decentralized anti-IP idea way before it was cool. Like, going back to the 30s. Like, okay, they did trademark the name Alcoholics Anonymous, but only as a, defensive trademark. So someone couldn't come out with, like, AA brand whiskey, you know? And they basically did this thing where, like, they open sourced before computers existed, even, let alone open source as we know it. They basically had the same ideas that, you know, they had they BIPCOTted things without knowing what BIPCOT was. They didn't want government involvement. They didn't want outside donations so they could keep it, you know, pure, so they wouldn't be beholden to anybody. And they basically said that anybody who wants to can start a meeting as long as it doesn't hurt AA as a whole, to the point where, like, literally you could start a naked AA meeting where people smoke pot probably and get away with it. They might not like the pot part, but they couldn't do anything really about the naked part. And the reason, like, the best way I ever saw that in action was it was the proof of this idea I heard too one time, that, like, all you need to start a new AA meeting is a resentment in a coffee pot. And I just thought that was the funniest thing when I first came into, like, NA, that I didn't like any of the meetings, so I started my own meeting. It's called Lust for Life. And all I had was a resentment in a coffee pot. Like, I literally almost didn't have a pot to pee in, as they say. But I, like, borrowed money, $10, to go buy a coffee pot, you know, to start this meeting, and got a place to do it.
Well, and I hope you didn't
no,
use that one.
I didn't confuse them. I didn't confuse them. So here's the perfect example of, like, how that works. There was this meeting in downtown San Francisco, AA meeting, that was, like, it was the big social meeting every Saturday night. There were, like, 300 people there. It was huge. People got dressed up for it. It wasn't like the meeting with a lot of recovery. It wasn't where you go to, like, sit around with crusty old timers in a room and read the big book and like really get down to brass tacks and work on your steps. It was the meeting where you go to like meet people and be seen and see and be seen and pick up your chip. Everyone would go there to pick up their chip because it was so like everyone was there. You know, it was a big social meeting. So there was this chick that was an attorney that was really kind of hot, and she got sober, and she was like 40, but she was really milfy and dressed really like professional milfy. Like she was a lawyer, but dressed in high heels and business wear, and like every guy just wanted her, was like, ah, that's the gifts of recovery. When I get sober, I'll get a woman like that. Like it kept me clean a while, like staring at her in meetings, like, someday I'll get a woman like that. And so
I'd wreck it.
Yeah, I'd wreck it. So she was kind of insane, and she was like a power driver, and basically like she became the secretary of this meeting, like the person running this meeting, you know, because she was popular. It was a popularity contest. People vote on it. But the way AA is set up is like nobody, you only stay like every 6 months they throw everyone out and get a new, like, you know, new leaders. So nobody, it doesn't become anyone's like my meeting, like you don't own the meeting. And she tried to own the meeting after 6 months. She didn't want to leave, and like they tried to throw her out, and they had like a private business meeting at the coffee shop down the street, like, what are we gonna do about her? And they tried to like vote her out. The next meeting, she brought a bunch of bikers in who like drunk biker friends of hers from her using days, who like came and sat up on the dais with her, like, and crossed their arms, like, who's going to physically remove this woman? Come through us,
so to speak, in so far. Yeah.
So what happened? Meeting. What happened was the market took care of it. Literally, like what happened was everyone stopped going to that meeting. Like the next week, there were like five people at that meeting. And after a few weeks of it, she was like, well, this isn't worth doing for me. I'm not the queen of attention anymore. And she stepped down, and they had five people at that meeting, and they voted in a new secretary, and the word got out. And next week there were 300 people at that meeting, and she never came back and went out and probably got drunk and was selling her butt on Polk Street soon after that. But that's, I like that about AA, and that's what I took from it, stole from it, and put into my book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, which I'm going to have Jeremy link in the show notes. There's a you can buy a paperback of it on Amazon, but there's also a free ebook and a free audiobook that's me reading it. Yeah, there, that sounds interesting. But, yep, so it was open source before there was open source, and I think that's cool. And if Jim says anything negative about AA, I'm just going to turn him down because I can do that. No, I'm kidding. But I don't know if you know that about AA. Do you, Jim?
No.
That it's all open source like that?
Well, I did know that, but
you don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. You think it's open source? toxins.
Well, Christian Science is open source, so.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah, they had to force them to do it, but their copyright expired. Okay. So yeah, Christian Science, they're a group. A lot of Christians would say that they're not Christian, but they basically have this idea that you should never go to the doctor ever any reason or take any medicines, and what you should do is like do this kind of weird prayer system to cure everything, and you know a lot of people die from it, and. But they have this book that was written by the lady, I forget her name, Eddie Mitty Baker or something like that, some weird name like that. And she wrote a book in the early 1900s, and the copyright ran out, but they tried to pull like a Disney thing, and it didn't work because, you know, they don't have Disney money.
Yeah. They don't have Disney money. Well, yeah. There's this thing called I Hate Your Politics, No Matter Who You Are by John Scalzi that is scathing and hilarious, and I recommend everyone Google it and read it. And he goes through Democrats, Republicans, and Libertarians and says what's wrong with all of them. And one of the things he says about Republicans in America is that they believe that they have a copyright on Jesus when they don't actually realize that Jesus is technically in the public domain by now. All right. Have a good show, guys. Bye.
So now that he's gone, we can say bad things about AA.
Yes. Yes. I have a problem with the religious thing. Yeah. I have a problem with the religious thing. I don't believe in a higher power. So, yeah, I know that before Michael calls back in and fight fiend phone, I know that some people, that some groups, there are some atheist AA meetings, and they use the group as their higher power. Yeah, the group or something else as a higher power. But still, it was designed around God, wasn't it?
I think that had something to do with it.
Yeah, the original 12 steps explicitly mentions a Christian God. And when they were getting kind of like legal status as a treatment center, you can't do that as a religious institution because it's unconstitutional, because it's a government telling people to accept in religion, which is unconstitutional. So they started wiping out it and started putting things in like higher power. And, you know, your higher power could be a rock, which is extremely offensive.
That's a pretty lower power, right?
Yeah, that's basically saying, well, if you're an atheist, you know, your higher power is a rock, which is like, it's basically kind of, you know,
this bottle of whiskey is your higher power.
It's a jab. It's a blatant jab. So
yeah, that was always one of my problems with it.
Well, I know people who have been sober for years using AA, but
I know people who tend to cold turkey too. So I mean, but that's not really a preferable way of doing it as well. So
I know a few people who have stopped smoking and they've all stopped cold turkey. I've never heard about anyone weaning off cigarettes, for example.
Yeah, well, I've heard people doing it with vape. Heard people doing it with vape pens, but usually then they get into competitive vaping, like Jeremy. I'm just kidding.
Not there yet, Jim.
I've never heard of anybody doing it with patches or gum. You know, it's always cold turkey.
Let's not go into vaping because we're gonna get a cold from Michael again.
Well, he's anti vaping, so
yeah, of course,
especially after what happened to him. So.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like the whole AA and I think that was part of my problem with it too, was the religious angle, because I went through it years ago, and originally it wasn't exactly my choice, but afterwards it was. I was trying to be a good boy, and I kind of just dismissed that from the beginning because I was like, I don't really want to be dealing with this religious angle because I'm an atheist and this doesn't make any sense to me. And I was assured by everybody, you know, all the people I talked to at the different meetings, and went, oh no, it's not really like that anymore. That's what they told me, at least. So I was like, okay, whatever. But I mean, I didn't necessarily have a problem, or at least I don't think, because I managed to still use certain substances all these years later and not have a problem. But, you know, I know people that go, just like anything else, I know some people that go by and swear if it wasn't for AA, they wouldn't be alive today. Other people who say they used, kind of like Michael, who said they used it, got some useful stuff out of it and went in a different direction. And other people said it was just absolutely horrible and a complete waste of time. So, you know.
And there's also like things like SOS, which is, I can't remember what it's called, something like secular or something of sobriety or whatever. And, you know, they do the same thing as 12 step, but they don't put all that religious stuff in. It's basically just a way for people to come together and say, give each other support and, you know, talk therapy, which is good. That's the good part about AA, but it's just all the other 12 steps. That's, it pretends to be some sort of technology, but it's not. it's what Penn Jillette would call a cult. Yeah. If I say it's a cult, then Michael Dean will come in here and argue with me. So
yes,
but if Penn says it. You can take that up with Penn. You can take that up with Penn.
You can direct it to Penn, who has more money than us combined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Who's a fine boy of Penn Jillette? Who was that? Was it Jeremy?
Well, that's Jim.
Oh, yeah, me. I like Penn. Even though sometimes he goes on about IP and the Libertarian Party, and I'm just like, ugh. But you know. Other than that, he's an entertaining person, and his show
is
bulls.
Yeah, but above anything else, he's an atheist, and that's his cause, right? That's what I find out. I mean, he loves liberty, but he will advertise atheism, you know, 10 times for every time he advertises liberty.
Yeah, he does run a show called the Penn Sunday School, and he also is involved with the Church of Bacon. Because there's bacon, because bacon is real and God's not.
Yeah, now we lost a bit
of listening
audience.
To Freedom yeah. Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Oh yeah, you just gotta deep fry everything. That's what would keep me from getting a deep fry. By the way, we're too busy talking to each other.
I was just about to suggest freeze-drying cats, but that will get me blocked by my... No, that's not funny.
No, it's not funny. What was it? There's a YouTube channel called Cult Moo, and they kind of do like food challenges, and they'll eat super spicy stuff and try beers, and that sort of channel. And they got their hands on a deep fryer, and that was probably like their biggest mistake, because now they're all, you can watch them getting fatter. And they do a thing where they deep fry random things. So they'll go to Taco Bell and then deep fry Taco Bell, yeah. Or they'll do the same thing with, you know, all the other fast food chains or whatever.
Yep.
And
it's been a few years where I'm sorry.
They do things like deep fried. They said they deep fried a quarter pounder and a Big Mac, and they were like, it's the best thing they ever did in their lives. I'm like, no. I don't know. I can't get one of those. I can't get, especially trying to lose weight. I just end up becoming like a huge blob. You know, deep frying every kind of cheese I can get my hand on. Yeah.
Well, a friend and I for some years right now we wanted to do a video where we batter and deep fry a copy of Marx Das Kapital, which I don't know if that's some kind of homage or really really offending to communists. So I'd like to try that.
That could be interesting.
I don't know. You can get a secondhand copy for $1 and then just batter it and deep fry it.
I would imagine you don't have to worry about the weight gain from that one, but yeah, that is because that is a problem. I was saying that before we came back on the air. Is when I got my deep fryer, I pretty much decided I wanted to try to deep fry everything because I only got it for wings originally. That was like, I swore, I was like, oh, that's all I needed for, just wings. And then it became desserts, and then I never got into the fast foods, but you know, because the people, they deep fry Twinkies and Oreos at like, you know, fairs and stuff and festivals and stuff like that.
I've had those.
Yeah, so we wanted to try doing that, which they came out pretty good. And then the more we got, for a couple of my friends and I, the more we got into stuff like that, we were like, oh, what else could we do? So we would go on shopping sprees, and we're just trying like all different types of cakes and pastries and pretty much candy, anything we could throw in there that would, we try to figure out what would melt and actually fry. Yeah, I got really fat over the course of 6 months. So I had to stop.
I have one too, and... Yeah, that's funny because I bought a deep fryer too, so I filled it up with lard because I read too much Jeffrey Tucker. Great. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I filled it up with lard and I became addicted to Southern style fried chicken.
Everybody's so lard phobic now. I mean, lard is such a wonderful treat. Everything comes out so much crispier with lard or compared to like sunflower oil or peanut oil. It's just terrible.
Yeah. But exactly. I got myself a food processor because it's a little bit healthier. I can make like salsas and salsa verde and hummus. I can make it oil free. You know, dump out some of the excess oil in tahini and no olive oil. I just put a lot of lime, lemon juice in there, and it comes out great. But I just got another one. I had it replaced because the engine was bad in the other one. So I got a new one, and this one's going to be great. So, yeah.
There should be a badge for that. I also made hummus from scratch, and it comes out just wonderful with garlic and oil a little bit of the lemon.
Oh, yeah. See, I do the oil, too. Jim's anti-oil, mostly anti-oil with your...
Well, why is that, Jim?
Well, it was because of my diet. Oil is basically fat. Yeah. But I actually had to put my diet on hold because I'm at like 35 pounds, and I had to shave my little goatee off because it was thinning out, and my hair started thinning out too. And I was like, I'm losing too much weight too fast. So I'm just kind of keeping everything low calorie, low carb, just roughly for a while until, you know, I feel a little bit like my hair is starting to not thin out again, and then I'm going to go back on it. So I'm still losing weight. I'm just slowing everything down, so I'm not in starvation mode, because that was my problem. So
I'm going to ask this stupid question. And where do you get your protein?
Peanuts, almonds, yeah, and then my occasional cheat day where I actually eat meat. So yeah,
where I go out with other women. Yeah, I see. I once was on a diet like that, and I had a cheat day, or two,
or three, every other day. Yeah, every day, just keep it low. Every meal's great.
Yeah, right.
So el meow for you,
worms. Awesome show.
Yeah, great show. Meow, meow.
By Bip Strongs.
I'm waiting for some buttons for cat owners.